Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today here on the show, we have three Minnesota Timberwolves players in the top 25 of ESPN's player rank this season. The only team in the NBA with three top 25 players. We'll talk about exactly where the Timberwolves' big three is ranked, as well as D'Angelo Russell. Did ESPN get it right? Where should they be ranked? Who's ranked around them that maybe could be higher or lower? We're going to break it all down on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to us by Bet Online. Bet Online has us covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. And basketball's right around the corner. First of all, big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and also at my account, which is at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, like I said, happy weekend. We're inching ever closer. Media days next week. Training camp starts next week. Preseason basketball is just a couple of weeks away, and we are within a month of the start of the NBA regular season. That means that it's rankings time. This is the time of year when everybody's releasing their player ranks. We've talked about a few different rankings out there. There were a couple in August, and there's a couple new ones here today. I want to focus mostly on the ESPN one, although CBS Sports also put out some player ranks. I'm still waiting on the NBA GM survey. That's probably a next week thing if I had to guess, but that's always a ton of fun. So we'll talk about that one when it comes out. So today let's focus on the ESPN rank. It's a fun exercise. Of course, ESPN does this every year. It used to be like the every player. So it was like 400 some players every year. And it was frankly kind of a disaster. It was a lot of fun at the same time. And every single player was ranked. There was a social media component. There was just kind of a lot of noise to it. Now it's a bit, apparently, I don't know if scientific's the right word, probably not. But it's only the top 100 players, and according to ESPN, it's composed of a panel of over 200 reporters the panel's over 200 folks. That's who the panel's composed of. The 200 analysts, they were asked to rank players based on predicted contributions, quality, and quantity for this season only. So for this year, which means not taking into account, like, for instance, LeBron James is what, 37, 38 years old. Anthony Edwards is 21. Obviously, people would rather have Anthony Edwards on their team than LeBron James for the next 3 to 5 years. Currently sitting here today, though, who's the better player, right? That's what this rank is asking. And the way that they were asked is player A versus player B. So LeBron, the example is given, LeBron versus Durant, who would you rank ahead of the other one? Curry versus Morant, who would you rank ahead of the other one? Luka versus Jason Tatum, who ranks higher? And they go on and on and on and on. And then they come up with this top 100. So there were, maybe not surprisingly, four Timberwolves players in the top 100 on this list. We talked briefly on Wednesday at the end of the show about the Timberwolf lowest on the list. And that's D'Angelo Russell at number 93. I don't want to spend a lot of time on him today, but I'll kind of reiterate quickly what I said on Wednesday. I actually think that's too low for D'Lo. Last year, I thought it was perhaps a little bit high when they had him at number 63. Actually, I think that was about right. There was another list last year that had him around 50, and I thought that was too high. 63 was probably about right last year. And I think D'Lo should actually be a little bit higher. He had a good season last year, and I know that the recency bias of the way the playoffs ended makes it easy to forget that D'Lo was actually quite good, arguably as good as he was in his All-Star season with Brooklyn. I know the shooting numbers were down, the field goal percentage, the three-point percentage, but everything else was better. He initiated offense better. The defense was improved. The passing was somewhere we hadn't seen it. I don't know that it was his best passing season in the NBA, but it looked a lot more like Ohio State D'Lo, you know, throwing dimes against the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 8-9 years ago, than it did like Brooklyn Nets, Golden State Warriors, Timberwolves, early Timberwolves D'Lo, where the dynamic passing just wasn't there. D'Lo was better last year than he was, you know, at least the 2-3 years just before that or just prior to that. So having him ranked at 93 feels like we swung a little bit too far the other way. So I'll give an example of some guys that are right ahead of him. He's a spot behind Christian Wood, which, you know, fine. I guess he's probably in that same range. He's a couple spots behind Anfernee Simons. It's a little aggressive. Simons is fantastic. He got really hot last year, but I think he's got to do it for a little bit longer. Buddy Hield probably should be lower. Mike Conley is still at 89. He plummeted from 48 the year prior. That's probably a little high for Conley. Nurkic is probably about right at 88. Brogdon at 87 feels right. Porzingis at 86. Jordan Clarkson at 85. I don't know that I put Jordan Clarkson ahead of D'Angelo Russell at this stage. I just don't, like, D'Lo's got to be higher than Clarkson. He's got to be higher than this version of Mike Conley. He's got to be higher than some of these guys. Paolo Banchero, by the way, is at number 82. I'm not at all disputing that Banchero is going to be a good pro, although I actually didn't love him as a prospect. I know that I'm probably in the minority there, but putting him at 82 without him ever seeing a minute, even in a preseason NBA game, is pretty aggressive. I'm pretty confident D'Angelo Russell for this season, because again, that's the question we're asking. In 2022-23, who is a better player, D'Angelo Russell or Paolo Banchero? It's going to be D'Angelo Russell, almost without a doubt. So I guess right there, I'm kind of now debunking the whole exercise, and we're about to talk about how those three Timberwolves ranked very highly, but here we are. I'm going to have it both ways in this podcast here today. Josh Giddey's ranked 81. Will Josh Giddey have a better career than D'Angelo Russell? It's very possible. He had a really exciting rookie season. I like watching him play. But he's not better than D'Angelo Russell right now today. There, in no world was his season last year better than D'Angelo Russell's. So to rank him 12 spots ahead of D'Lo is kind of crazy. So that's kind of the issue with this list. Like, I mean, you go on, and I probably would have put D'Lo in the 60s again this year. I don't know that he's, you know, for a while last year, you could have made an all-star case. Towards the end of the year, you might have thought he's maybe even in the 30s or 40s. I think realistically, he's probably around the 60th best player in the league. If you're doing this rank and everybody's in a vacuum and it's this year only, D'Lo's still a really good player. And he should be the, you know, third or fourth best player in a good team, which I guess puts him more in the 70s range than the 60s. But 93 is too low for D'Angelo Russell. I don't think there's any question about that. So what I want to do next is I want to key in on the three Timberwolves players, count them, three in the top 25. The Timberwolves are the only team in the league with three players ranked in ESPN's player rank top 25. And we'll get a bit more into like exactly where they are, what surprised me about it, and where I think they should be ranked. So we're going to cover that here the rest of the show today. First, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's show, and that, of course, is our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. Betting pro football is the only real kind of, like, game-to-game betting I do. I like to do NBA over-unders, win totals. I think that's a ton of fun. BetOnline's the spot for that. And by the way, hammer the over on the Timberwolves. I said it last year, I'll say it again this year. 48.5, I mean, come on. It's going to be, they won 46 games last year, just added an all-NBA player in Rudy Gobert. I mean, it's crazy. So hit the over on the Timberwolves. If you're betting football this weekend for college on Saturday, NFL on Sunday, BetOnline's the place to be. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport that's out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, and more. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so we talked about D'Lo at number 93 in player rank. There were no Timberwolves ranked. So the way that ESPN did this is they released 26 to 100, and D'Lo was the only player, which immediately told us there wasn't a whole lot of suspense here. There were three Timberwolves in the top 25. I said on Wednesday's show, I thought Ant would be in the 23 to 25 range. I thought Rudy, I thought Cat would be right around 20, and I thought Rudy would be around 15. I was wrong. I was right on Ant. So we'll start there. Anthony Edwards was indeed number 25, up from number 52 on last year's list. So a jump of 27 spots. One spot behind Donovan Mitchell, two spots behind Bam Adebayo, three spots behind Jaylen Brown, and four spots behind Chris Paul. And the number 20 was Anthony Davis, for what it's worth. I don't think I could argue with a straight face he's better than any of those players sitting here right now. So 25 feels good to me. I'll read briefly here what Kevin Peltner wrote. He did there's like a two paragraph write up here on ESPN. So he says Anthony Edwards' swing scale this year is pull up 3-point shooting. Much of Edwards' development will be tied to his 3-point shot. As a rookie, he attempted 7.2 per game, most ever by a qualified rookie. But he made only 33% of them. He improved to 36%. This is his overall 3-point percentage last year. He was strong on catch and shoot attempts, 41%, but off the dribble, he's 32.5%. If he improves his off, but this is me now, if he improves his off the dribble 3-point shooting above 32.5%, call it 35%. If he's shooting somewhere near league average for overall 3-point shooting off the dribble and stays over 40% catch and shoot, then it's game over. Ant's completely lights out as an offensive player. That's the kind of the last thing besides being more consistent finishing at the rim. But I mean, if he's shooting, you know, 35, 36% pull-up threes, 41, 42% catch and shoot threes, you know, 75, 80% at the line, he's getting to the line a handful of times a game, a true three-level scorer and a good defender. I mean, come on. Then he's an easy top 25 player. Pelton also says one huge question for this year, how quickly will he develop? Clearly expectations are high. He ranks ahead of players who were all-stars and even all NBA picks a year ago, which is crazy. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Edwards wasn't that good as a sophomore, he says. So Pelton even says in the write-up, hey, he was not the 25th best player in the league last year. Pelton also says, but his rapid development from low efficiency score to one whose true shooting of 56% was nearly league average was promising. If Edwards takes the leap, we're anticipating an all-star nod and most improved player honors are within reach at age 21. So here's my take. 25 is actually too high for Anthony Edwards coming into the season. But again, the projection is what does this year look like for Anthony Edwards? So if we're sitting here in 6 months and Ant's an all-star, or I guess not even 6 months for, you know, 5 months for the all-star game, 3.5 or 4.5 months, then okay, this feels about right. At the end of the year, then yeah. So, and I guess given that lens, we're not saying at this moment, we're saying for this season, it's an argument that can be made. I took the ranking to mean initially as at this moment, hard for me to say, like Drew Holiday, for instance, is number 26. Ant obviously has a much higher ceiling, especially at this point in their respective careers. I think it's likely Ant has a better career than Drew Holiday has had. But sitting here right now, is he better than Drew Holiday? I mean, Drew Holiday is a really good defender, even still. Now, at this stage in his career, is he better than Zach LaVine? Maybe. Is he better than DeMar DeRozan? That's a closer one. Is he better than Brandon Ingram? I think so. Is he better than Pascal Siakam? I don't know that his on-court impact is greater than Pascal Siakam sitting here right now. Chris Middleton's another one. He's at 31. Andrew Wiggins at 32. Wiggins was starting on the All-Star team last year, and he ranks 32 in ESPN player rank. I'm not gonna talk. I go down rabbit holes when I talk about Andrew Wiggins on this show. Kyrie Irving's at 33. Who knows? So I think Ant's slightly too high. Like I probably would put him in the 30, like around 30, give or take. So like not a lot high. But if he makes the All-Star team, I don't know that he makes the All-NBA team this year, but if he makes the All-Star team in the West, which is entirely possible, remember, no Donovan Mitchell, by the way, he ranked at 24. Donovan's in the East now. I think there's certainly a path, and I think it's more likely than not he's an All-Star this year. And so then this becomes more of a real conversation. Like you could legitimately say he's in the top 25. I will say, I talked about this a bit on Wednesday in light of the John Krasinski appearance on the Zach Lowe Low Post podcast at ESPN, that Ant is already an above average on-ball defender. Just individual defense, he's a plus defender. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that because he wasn't that good as a rookie. He wasn't a great defender at Georgia. So the narrative was very easy with like, he has all the tools, but he's not a great defender. He's actually a really good defender. And that should play into this as well. And I don't know how much these voters really considered that. Certainly there's room to improve off ball. I've talked a lot about that in the past, but having him at 25 is far from crazy. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought he'd be like in the 40s on this list, maybe in the mid upper 30s. I would have ranked him around 30, low 30s myself. Seeing him at 25 is certainly a pleasant surprise. I mentioned Mitchell at 24, Adebayo 23, Jaylen Brown 22, Chris Paul 21. maybe a little higher than I would have expected for CP3. Anthony Davis at 20 after being at 9 last year. I'm just going to go down the list. Bradley Beal at 19. Rudy Gobert at number 18. Last year, Rudy Gobert was ranked 25, so a rise of 7 spots for Rudy. Tim McMahon did the write-up for ESPN. He says, after spending the first 9 years in Utah, Gobert moved to Minnesota. On and on. I'm not going to read that part. Talks about Gobert. Opponents made 64%+ of defended field goals within 6 feet of the rim against the Wolves last season. Gobert was under 51% against him within 6 feet of the rim. Also, the Timberwolves had the second worst defensive rebound rate last year next to Brooklyn league-wide, while Gobert had the best overall individual rebound rate of 36.3%. The Timberwolves as a team rebound rate defensively was just over 70%. Gobert himself was more than half of that, 36.3%. I've talked at length about the fit. I don't need to read you anything else about what ESPN said about that. But Gobert at 18, it was another pleasant surprise. I predicted he'd be in the mid-teens, but I still like to actually see that. It's a good reminder that the media, the folks who cover this stuff day in and day out, and also, you know, talent evaluators, people who really understand this on-court impact, know that despite all the memes, despite all the discussion of Rudy's playoff issues, he's a really good player. He's a 3-time defensive player of the year. So to not have him in the top 20 feels kind of absurd. Again, he was 25th last year. So I think this feels right to have him a spot ahead of Bradley Beal. I think that's totally fine. Beal tumbled from 11 to 19. To have him a couple spots ahead of Anthony Davis, who also dropped 11 spots himself, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him ahead of Chris Paul. I'm okay with him ahead of Jaylen Brown. I'm okay with him ahead of Bam Adebayo. Like all that makes sense to me. The players right in front of Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler at 17. It surprised me he wasn't any higher. Trae Young at 16. Paul George at 15. Trey's maybe a little high. Paul George, I guess, because of the injury, you know, it's hard to have him much higher than 15, but as a fully healthy player, I think he should be. So, you know, I think you can make a case for all those players being ahead of Rudy. So that doesn't really upset me. I feel like the Rudy ranking is about correct. I want to close the show today by talking about where Karl Anthony Towns ranked, which was the most pleasant surprise of it all. Given all the, you know, similar to the Rudy chatter that's, you know, like with most things, there's some truth to it, right? There's some truth to Rudy having the playoff issues, and there's some truth to him being a limited max player and what he can do offensively and things like that. The Towns stuff makes way less sense in terms of the overall, this kind of ambiguous, it's not a straw man, it's a narrative that's out there about Towns, right? I was pleasantly surprised with where he ended up in ESPN ranks. So I want to talk about that, who's ranked around him, and then briefly the CBS sports rankings as well. That's how we'll end the show today. All right, Karl Anthony Towns, I'll give you the top 15 in NBA rank, or, well, not the top 15, because the top five have not yet been released. But 15 was Paul George, as mentioned. Damian Lillard was at 14, of course, missed a huge chunk of last year. Karl Anthony Towns at number 13 for the Wolves. 12 is Kawhi Leonard. James Harden at 11. That's the rest of your, you know, up until the top 10. Towns went from 24 to 13. Now, you can make a case that there were parts of Towns' games that actually weren't better last year than they were the year prior. But it underscores the importance of team success, right? People remember watching Towns in the playoffs now. And even though he didn't have a great series, and of course he had the miserable play-in game, he had a couple no-shows really in the series against Memphis too. People saw him on the national stage. People know the Timberwolves are a playoff team now. People know that him and Anthony Edwards are this dynamic duo in Minnesota. And he's getting the accolades. He won the three-point contest, right? Like, people, the national recognition is starting to come in. And what that tells me is he should have been ranked a little bit higher all along, right? He should have been ranked higher than 24 last year. I've kind of casually said on this podcast, ever since the Rudy trade in July, that the Wolves had two top 20 players. And this, I mean, at least according to ESPN rank, that's 100% true. Karl Anthony Towns 13, Rudy at 18. They have two top 20 players. And I've been kind of throwing out that eight was, you know, around 35, 40. Well, now they have three top 25 players, according to ESPN player rank. Pelton did the write-up for Towns on here. He talks about Towns being the greatest big man shooter of all time. He says the biggest question for Towns this year is, can he defend power forwards? His shooting ability should make the addition of Gobert a relatively seamless one. The questions are more at the defensive end, where Towns had settled in at center, and after toggling between the two front court spots, or saying that he had toggled between the two front court spots in the past, he hadn't really played that much for with the Wolves. Although I guess, well, functionally within the offense at times he did. I digress. Per second spectrum tracking data, 71% of Towns' half-court matchups last season were against a player who primarily played center. Now he'll have little choice but to chase smaller, quicker forwards around the perimeter. Of course, that is the big question for this year. We've talked about that extensively on the show as well. To me, I was just very surprised that he was ahead of Dame, that he's ahead of Paul George. I know Paul George missed a ton of time last year. I was shocked he's ahead of Trae Young. He should be ahead of Trae Young. Karl-Anthony Towns is a better player than Trae Young, and he has been pretty much always. So having Trae behind him was a pleasant surprise, ahead of Jimmy Butler, which is fascinating. And then, of course, Rudy up at 18. So I also don't really have an issue with Kawhi being ahead of him, even though he didn't play last year. James Harden still, I mean, like last year's season, much of the season last year for James Harden was not better than Karl-Anthony Towns, but I think the track record has to play into assuming that he's going to be better in his current situation this year, James Harden, that is. So I understand him being at 11. I understand Kawhi at 12. Cat at 13 is a ton of fun. I love it. I love that Cat's getting the recognition. A lot of this national narrative stuff around him has not been fair. The defense has actually been decent the last couple of years. Now the question is, can he do it at the four? Can the Wolves manipulate their own coverages well enough to not hide Towns, but put him in the most advantageous positions to stay on the floor? Foul trouble, again, is the biggest thing. If he can avoid the foul trouble, he's a top, what, six or seven player? I mean, like, it's crazy, but that alone would increase his minutes. It would increase his impact defensively and also offensively. I mean, how many of his fouls that he's committing are offensive fouls? It was like one, he led the league in offensive foul rate, if I'm not mistaken. It was like 1.25 fouls per game, offensive fouls per game, which is nuts. If he could just cut back on those, and that alone would limit his turnovers, almost 1.5 turnovers a game, I think, on offensive fouls. So, you know, if he could do those things, we're talking about an easy top 10 player at this time next year, if not top 5, 6, 7, something like that. So really great to see him ranked where he is. Very quickly on CBS, they ranked the top 22 players at every position, which is an interesting take. I actually don't like this exercise as much because it's so hard to like pigeonhole some of these guys into a position. Like, what are we really calling LeBron James? You know, some of the things like that. So we'll start with center. I'm just going to do the top few guys at each position. Jokic is number one, of course. Embiid, of course, number two. Anthony Davis is 3 and Rudy Gobert 4 on the CBS list. Bam Adebayo 5, Domantas Sabonis 6. Towns is no longer listed as a center on this exercise. So I understand Gobert at 4. That makes sense. Again, ESPN Rank had him ahead of Anthony Davis by a spot. So you could make that argument. I could go either way, and it doesn't really bother me to have him 3rd or 4th, excuse me. When it comes to power forwards, Karl-Anthony Towns is 5th behind number 1, Giannis. Number 2, Kevin Durant is now a power forward. Number 3, LeBron. He's basically been a power forward the last few years. Zion Williamson, number 4, which feels aggressive to me for somebody who didn't play last year, but that bumps Towns to number 5. I don't know how you put Zion ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns. It just seems absolutely nuts to me. Pascal Siakam at number 6, Draymond Green at 7, Jaren Jackson Jr. at 8. I'd put Jaren Jackson Jr. ahead of, well, I don't know. I guess I'd probably put him ahead of Draymond, but again, it's the foul trouble thing for Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. So Towns at 5 there, I get that. It makes sense, except for the Zion thing. Really, it doesn't make sense. He should be at 4. And then the last thing would be small forwards. Incidentally, point guards, D'Angelo Russell's not in the top 22, according to CBS's ranking, which, like, I don't know that I would probably have him in the top 22. I'm not going to start listing off guys I think that should be below him, but I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that D'Angelo Russell is, that there's 22 starting point guards better than D'Angelo Russell. I think he's probably in the 15 to 20 range, but to put him outside the 22 is kind of nuts. Anthony Edwards is number 5 on the shooting guard list. Devin Booker 1, Donovan Mitchell 2, Zach LaVine 3, Bradley Beal 4, Ant 5. I buy that. You know, I think he probably moves ahead of Beal this year, perhaps even LaVine, because his defense is already better than Zach LaVine's. And really, the on-ball defense, I would argue, is better than Bradley Beal's too, and Donovan Mitchell for that matter. So if the offensive efficiency continues to improve, he improves the on-ball defense, grabs a couple extra rebounds a game, which is you know, does not just go without saying, because Ant needs to improve the rebounding, he's going to be top three in this position at least this season. I don't think that's crazy at all. Okay, I do want to talk about, I think we'll do this Monday, I want to talk about the BetOnline top 50 most valuable players. I've alluded to this earlier in the week, and they actually were released over the course of this week, and the three Timberwolves players ranked were on the show the other day, or they talked about it on Locked On NBA. I want to talk about that on Monday's show. I want to save that conversation for then. You can go and listen to it. I'll give my take on it. It's kind of funny when you pair it up with the ESPN player rank, where they ranked on the BetOnline top 50 most valuable players in terms of players moving the betting line. So we'll talk about that on Monday's show. So definitely stay tuned for that. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. Programming note, we'll be back to 5 days a week starting Monday. Next week, Monday through Friday, 5 shows. Training camp starts, preseason starts the following week. So we are 100% back at it starting Monday. So be sure that you are following and subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you to those of you that make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. And of course, you can watch on YouTube as well as follow on any of your favorite audio platforms and on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. And that's with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And another reminder on the Locked On Top 50, you can go make the NBA Top 50 on Locked On NBA your second listen today when you're done with this show. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this season? Locked On and the BetOnline odds makers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players. Find it on Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.